We are back as we get into the fourth and final hour of this program. Bob Pompiani along with Austin Bechtel and now Jeff Hathorn, sports director here at 93.7 The Fan, a man who wears many hats, has joined us. How are you, Jeff?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the AC for as long as I can.
Yeah, and starting tomorrow, do you wear bucket hats? Those big...
I don't.
You should.
I don't. I know I should.
Because it's the one thing that covers your ears. And I found through having gone through this myself with this melanoma crap, that if you don't cover your ears, you're risking something there. So,
I mean, I bring sunscreen, but I don't look good in anything, let alone a bucket hat.
I don't either, but I've gotten to the point in my life where it doesn't matter. I don't care. I just want to protect myself.
But there's going to be some new Steelers, and I don't want their first view of me to be, who's this dork in the bucket hat? Who's Gilligan over here?
You won't look like that.
Yes, I will.
No, you wouldn't. All right. Let's start with this training camp because now it begins. All the talk we've had for the last 3.5 months or whatever it's been, trying to assemble this roster, they finally have it done, although I do think it's still a little incomplete, and I think there could be changes by the end of the preseason schedule, which takes them, you know, through three games. They'll have a better assessment of who's doing what. Your biggest storyline going into this training camp would be what?
I mean, it's always about the quarterback. So how does – we didn't get to see Aaron Rodgers do much during the 3 days of mini camp. I mean, he didn't do – he threw some outs, some 10-yard outs. I want to see him let loose. I want to see what this – what he looks like in a camp setting when they have the first-team offense, even if it's just, you know, 7-on-7. Like, let's see what that looks like. You've seen it for 20 years, but you've never seen it in black and gold, never seen it at age 41, or at least with the Steelers at age 41. So, I mean, that's the biggest one. There are some other ones. I mean – where does Jalen Ramsey play, Bob?
I think he's going to be sort of a hybrid guy. You know, he's
going seems to, like it.
But it would depend on down and distance. It'll depend on what they're looking at in terms of the other offense. So, but I would see him. I told Austin early on, I was not a big fan of this, and I like Deshaun Elliott, but Thornhill and those two guys as your two guys back there, that I think that's potentially a problem.
Maybe they only have one back there.
Maybe. They could do that too.
I mean, maybe it's only Elliott, and maybe Thornhill.
The interesting thing of this whole makeup.
I mean, does Peyton Wilson, is he fast enough that he plays kind of a hybrid linebacker safety and Ramsey? I mean, there are a lot of options. If you're Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin, and you sit in a room and you think about all the different ways you could form this defense, I'm sure it's a lot of fun with all the games you could play. But then it's like, okay, this looks great on paper, but how are these guys going to play together? That's another one of the fascinating things. Where does this guy play? We heard all last year about the communication issues. Minka felt like some of those were solved or at least heading in the right direction before they traded him. Obviously, they felt like he was a part of the problem or he would still be on this roster. So how does that work? Who steps up in the secondary? Is it Deshaun Elliott now as the big man? Does Ramsey come in because of his experience, or does a guy like Slay, because he's the longest veteran, longest tenured veteran in the group, does he become that guy? Like, how does that stuff work? Are things I'm going to be watching the first few weeks?
Do you have a breakout player or two that you can talk about here? Because they have guys, and I'm not going to include the rookies on this because that wouldn't constitute a breakout, but someone who's been around here for a while, who hasn't done maybe what you expected, and now you need that person to do it. One on offense, one on defense. I'll start, and the first one I'll do is Roman Wilson, year two. I have to see something from him. If they're going to count on what they have in their wide receiving tandem and their roster of wide receivers, they need him to be a real contributor to it. And on defense, I think that Keanu Benton is a guy who really has to be breakout.
Those are good ones. To be different, I would say Calvin Austin needs to be more consistent with what he's shown. I mean, he's shown some flashes of being an impact-type receiver, and you talk to any one of those coaches over there, and they'll all tell you our number two receiver is Calvin Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, period. We feel good about what Calvin Austin can bring this team this year, especially with the tight ends, with his ability maybe to get lost because of the defense having to worry about those big guys.
Right.
So that would be one for me, and it's a contract year for him. I would say Peyton Wilson is – the other one for me. I know it's just year two. How far has he come? How much does his speed play? can he be an impact if he's in the box? Like, where has he taken his game now that you don't have a Landon Roberts as that run-stuffing linebacker?
Well, they do have, you know, coming back into this, Cole Holcomb, but I'm not so sure how much you can expect from a guy coming back. That injury was a significant injury. It's taken him a long time, and I applaud anyone who comes back from something like that. I mean, you really have to – you do that rehab in the darkness with no one around. You have to be committed. There's no cheating. You got to be honest with yourself, and he's done that.
And he's a guy who's had triple-digit tackles in his in seasons in his career. And, I mean, I think he can do a little bit of everything, but to your point, I mean, until he establishes himself, I think the two linebackers are Wilson and Queen, with with Holcomb being that third that could either come in situationally. If he has a great camp, then Wilson could be the guy that's just doing a lot of odd things.
I think that's a big strength for them, linebackers in general, outside, inside, depth. The one area that I do not have a lot of confidence in is backup offensive line. I think, you know, there's some questions for the starting offensive line, but if they hit what they're supposed to do and do what they're supposed to do, that becomes a good part of their team, because I think they'll give Rodgers time. But if there are injuries, I was looking at Dylan Cook here as, you know, one of the key tackle swing guys. I mean, nothing against him.
He's crazy, just athlete, but just hasn't done it.
No, he hasn't done it. They've had it other.
Calvin Anderson is an experienced guy who started a lot of games in the NFL. I think he's a good player to have. I think Ryan McCollum is a good guy to have.
Spencer Anderson was a former pick of theirs.
He's a guy that can flip guards, guard spots, and you can even move him out to tackle. And he can play center in an emergency. I think, whereas maybe with Herbig, you had someone that you could plug in for half a season, I think the guys that you have now, maybe for a couple of games, but any longer than that, you're probably looking outside.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. We talked about wide receiver, and if Roman Wilson isn't the answer, is Jonnu Smith sort of that? We talk about the word hybrid a lot. That's all we're using here, a lot of these guys. He's a hybrid guy. He plays tight end. He can do a lot, but they can line him up differently, and he's shown the ability to go down the field with yak yards.
He is going to line up wide. It'll be Freiermuth on the line of scrimmage, because Jonnu Smith is there to catch the ball, not block. And he's not a great blocker, but and he went from 27 catches just 2 years ago to 88 last year. I mean, it's a crazy rise. It's been a meteoric rise for him with his last two teams. They have to have big things from him. They went out and spent a lot in Minka, obviously getting Ramsey back as well, but he's got to have a big year for them, and they've got to open up the middle of the field. I know there was a lot of talk, and Lemus was part of that too. You heard all that talk last year that, you know, Arthur Smith doesn't throw it in the middle of the field. Well, they better this year, because two of their best three pass catchers are tight ends.
They put up some caution tape there, Jeff, right at the hash marks to make sure nobody would go in between there.
And it was as much Russ, maybe, as
fearful
it was
of
Arthur.
Making a mistake. Yeah. Right? So when Tomlin pounds that into your head a lot, it makes you think. You know, I don't want to. But Rodgers has been pretty good about not making interception mishaps, although the last 2 years he's had two of his worst years in that department.
I think Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith can pound things into Aaron Rodgers' head. It doesn't mean he's going to listen. And I think that could be a good thing for them. For if he goes rogue a couple of times, even though there'll be a mistake here or there, and could show them, hey, when you play aggressively, look what can happen. That part of me, I'm not. When it first was proposed about Aaron Rodgers, I thought, no way. But the more you hear about it, maybe it's just wishful thinking. I go into it really curious to see how this is going to work.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's going to, and again, one area has to support the other. If your offensive line is not good, that's going to make things difficult for plays to develop and him to have the time he needs to do it. On the other side of it, we talked a lot this morning about their defensive line. You know, it's nice to have outside linebackers who can get after you, but you need down and distance in your favor to make that happen. Generally speaking, if you get throttled in the run game so that guys are just running the ball down your throat, it limits what your linebackers can really do in those situations.
Yes, yes. And let me bring this up with the offense as well, because we talked offensive line and backup offensive linemen. It's got to work with Broderick Jones.
Yes.
I mean, he's got to be what they drafted, because if not, then you're leaving a tight end into block on that side, which is limiting who you can use. Does that mean that Freiermuth doesn't play in some passing downs, that you don't put Jonnu, or that you have three tight ends in obvious passing downs because you need one to block, two to go out wide? I mean, it can really limit what this offense can do if they can't trust Broderick Jones on that left side.
Yeah, he has to be the player that they envisioned him to be when he came out. I think Troy Fautano looks like someone who will be that player. We got a good look at him last year before the injury, and he looked like a man at that position, like he was going to be able to take care of whatever.
Well, and you studied tape, and you called some of those games. Like, his athleticism
is
like a tight end.
Yeah, it's really big.
I mean, he gets down to he gets to the second level like a tight end. And, I mean, can he hold up over a whole season? How is he going to handle guys bull rushing him? Like, things like that we just didn't see at the pro level. But this guy, they were so excited about him. I mean, think about it. It was going to be a situation where he might not be the starter, but they let him battle, and he won that battle, and they were expecting him to have the same type of season that a Zach Frazier had last year as a rookie.
I'm curious about playing time. We asked this to Brian Batko with Aaron Rodgers. I believe that all these guys should take snaps in the preseason. It doesn't have to be a lot, but just something to kind of get up to speed in a game-type situation. Aaron Rodgers, however, is 41 going on 42. He's been down every one of these kind of situations. Does he need to get time with a new group of guys? Doesn't have to be a lot of time, but at some point of this preseason, should we see him in a game?
All right, so there's two questions there. Does he need it, and will we see him out there in it? I think the over-under might be two series that we see him the entire preseason on a football field in a preseason game, because to your point, he's 41. I think he feels like he's going to get those things addressed in camp and that we're not going to see a ton of him out there. I just don't. I mean, I think all those guys could always use more time. I mean, look at the first couple of weeks of the NFL season over the last few years.
Very sloppy play.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Steelers, given their situation, especially with the early bye week, like no team can afford sloppy play. But, man, you would like to see this be a little bit sharper, especially with the new pieces. And I would hope that the offensive line gets a number of reps together in the preseason.
I think they need to have that's a whole different line now, and you need to get that. Will Howard, we've talked a lot about him. And in a perfect situation for the Steelers, you'll never see him in a game this year. And I say that out of respect for him. I know what he did in college, but if Rodgers plays the majority of games, I suspect he'll be out a game or two with something. Mason will come in. As far as the preseason is concerned, how much would you divvy up Mason Rudolph versus Will Howard?
Oh, Will Howard gets the second half of the first game.
And becomes a fan favorite.
So that'll be my guarantee limits, is that after the first or second preseason game, the calls / Joe will be, this guy's the quarterback.
And they're going to say immediately, I told you, limits, how dare you try to put down Will Howard the way that you did.
We've seen it so many times.
I see it every preseason.
And that doesn't mean he may not be a good quarterback. The beauty, I think, for Will Howard is this. He gets to sit back with no pressure.
Right.
Learn, watch. Aaron Rodgers has talked a game about how he likes Will Howard, and whatever he asks him, he's not going to volunteer information, but if Will comes to him, he'll let him know anything he wants to know. We've seen it in the past that Mason Rudolph is an outstanding teammate. He's going to share information. I think it's a really good setup for him, whereas if there would not have been Aaron Rodgers and Mason would have been the starter, it would be a different scenario for him to learn it. There'd be more opportunity for him to potentially get on the field, but the chance to just sit back and learn would be minuscule.
I can see it right now. Oh, this DeMarcus Ayers, he's a really good player. What do you think, Charlie? Could he make the roster? Will Howard, do you think he could have an opportunity? I can see it, Bob. That conversation's had every year about a player.
Every time we do preseason games, you're going to have conversations like that because that's what we have to do. I mean, you got to talk about some of these situations.
One of the undrafted free agent wide receivers that they sign will absolutely be a camp phenom.
That's right. It's going to be Montana Lamonius Craig. You watch. and he'll get a fan base.
This Kobe Hamilton, Charlie, I think he might be able to make
that
the team.
That almost sounds like Montana to Craig, right?
Well, it is almost, with a Lemonius in between.
Right.
So he's on the roster. We'll see. And I think they're wearing him on 21. I forget.
Do you remember Montana DeRapo, the relief pitcher that the Pirates had? Do you remember him?
Yes. Only
he wasn't very good, Jeff.
There have been a few of those.
Just a couple.
We're back here talking football with Jeff Hathorn, sports director. This has been one of the more active off seasons we have seen, Jeff. Many surprising moves, moves that cost a lot of money, moves that are designed to make them try to win this year, and I give them credit for that.
Yeah, it was. I watched Judy Bautista, who you know very well, mm-hmm. who is very tight with the late ambassador, and to watch her face as she's like, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're making the most blockbuster moves. It's been such a different, and I think there's a narrative that I don't think is fair of the Steelers of like over the last 50 years that they've been passive in free agency. I don't think it's that. I think they've just had a philosophy of this is how they build, not that they've just been passive for all of these years. It's just this year they decided, man, we're gonna change the way we do it, and they've really have changed their roster.
Well, a lot of this has to do with the fact that they still haven't figured out a quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger left. And every year it changes. And when you get so much activity at the quarterback position, it takes on a whole different level of conversation because of six in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, they've drafted one in the first round. They went took a flyer on a 26-year-old, well, 25 at the time, and Justin Fields. And that didn't work out the way they wanted to. And then now they've got a temp at quarterback as they look to get a new steady quarterback, if you will, in 2026.
And that'll be all the focus next year, especially when the NFL draft comes to Pittsburgh, which should be high drama for sure.
And Bob, it's kind of crazy when you think about it. In January, the Steelers had one quarterback under contract, Skylar Thompson.
Skylar Thompson.
It was the only one under contract for the entire year. And we went, you go with, well, what'd they bring Russ? What are they going to, are they going to go in the draft? I mean, all of that offseason talk. And then finally, Justin Fields signs with the Jets and like, okay, that's off the board. Then there's, is it Aaron Rodgers? Could Russell Wilson come back? And it ends up being Russell signs with the Giants. You still don't know going into the draft. You wait till the sixth round. I mean, it's been a fascinating offseason. And then to trade a guy like Minka, I mean,
right.
Minka behind Cam Hayward and TJ, like he, if you want to say that they were a trio, like he was a big part of that trio.
Sure.
And to trade him has been.
And not just him, but
what an offseason.
George Pickens gone. They, you know, they took a chance. They knew his talent, and his talent was obvious, but all the other stuff came back into play that they were warned about by college analysts who found there were red flags in his game. And then to make a massive deal for DK Metcalf, that's pretty interesting, which leads us to this season. I think it's going to be fascinating right off the bat. Steelers-Jets, of all things, right? That should have been a night game, and I think they made this designation before Rodgers was actually signed here, I think. I'm not sure how that worked.
They did. And because everybody was speculating, oh, they've got the Jets because the NFL knows that Aaron Rodgers is going to sign here.
Right, so that's going to be a tough game. I don't think there's any question about it. I think the Jets roster is a pretty good roster, actually. And I don't know what Fields will do, and I think they like him, and we'll see what happens.
Know this. Justin behaved as the perfect teammate, but he wasn't happy with how it all went down here.
No, that's why he took the contract with New York.
So they can say that I'm not circling a game. I mean, it's the first game. This is going to be a big deal for Justin Fields.
And he has the things that Mike Tomlin has always coveted, you know, with the athletic ability to be mobile everywhere, and he's probably the best in the game at doing it.
And he was 4-2, and they kind of lowballed him on a contract offer. And
right.
I mean, when you get spurned by an employer that you feel like you've done well with and you got along, you know, with the room, this is going to be a big deal for Justin Fields.
But on the other side of it, it'll be a big deal for Aaron Rodgers too,
obviously,
because he leaves that team that he went to thinking that they could, you know, get over the hump and get into a playoff situation. Never happened. That's going to be a tough game. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets win it. After that, it's the Steelers' home opener against Seattle, a whole different kind of team out there in Seattle.
The Metcalf Bowl.
Exactly. They're going to have these ties and these storylines throughout. But, all, you know, they've changed quarterbacks. They've gone now. And, you know, Dalton, I don't know if if he is the answer there. They gave him a lot of money based on what he did in Minnesota, but when the games really mattered, he didn't do as well as he had done.
Yeah, Sam Darnold I've never really believed in him, but he had a monster season in Minnesota. But much like people are questioning Jalen Hurts, did he have a monster season in Minnesota because their offensive line, especially their tackles, are elite? They've got a couple of elite wide receivers, and their offensive plan is top notch. I mean, is that why it was good, or was Sam the big reason why it all came together? And that's what Seattle's banking on.
And they gave him $100 million plus. That's a pretty big banking on. After that, the Steelers will go to New England. Now, this could be a tricky game because I think New England is one of the teams that could sneak up on you. We'll see how the quarterback play goes, but I think he'll be Drake May will take them better than where they were last year offensively. And I think defensively they have some good. You've got a new coach too, and Mike Vrabel. So how do you see that one?
Well, it's hard to find a most improved list speculating for 2025 without Drake May's name on it. I mean, there are high expectations for May to take a big step this year. They've added more talent around him. They had a lot of youth last year. Now with Vrabel in there, they feel like they've got something going on this year. And they could be, and that's another, if you look at different polls of like teams that could make a big step this year, New England's on all those lists as well.
No question. After that, it's the game in Dublin at Croke Park. It'll be the Vikings and the Steelers. And the Vikings are a tough team to figure. You know what they have, and they have really good talent. But they've entrusted J.J. McCarthy to be the guy.
He's got the swagger of a starting quarterback. Absolutely. He won some big games in college. He's never done it at all in the pros. I mean, I still believe they have a good team. They obviously have a couple of they still have their receivers. They still got a good offensive line, same coaching staff. So, I mean, you think it would be a plug-in situation, but you just don't know until he does it. I mean, listen, there have been other quarterbacks that had big college careers, and you put them into an NFL system, it just doesn't work.
Even though he didn't want to miss the season with the injury, I think that sitting back probably helped him a little bit, and he learned a lot, just as you talked about Will Howard.
Yeah.
Benefiting by that sort of thing. Then it's the Browns and the Steelers. I'm going to go to the next three games just real quick. You got the Browns and the Steelers, then the Steelers and the Bengals, which at this point we don't know what they're going to be looking like other than similar to last year, and then the Packers and the Steelers.
So Cleveland at home, you'd like to think, okay, now Cleveland will have had 5 weeks to figure out its quarterback situation. Will they have a starter, or is this the time where they're going to start monkeying with other guys because they don't know if the guy that started the season was the right? Let's say Kenny starts the season. And the Browns are 1-3 or 2-3 at this point because they don't have the early bye. Is now Shador going to come in and make his debut? And I mean, there's a lot of scenarios that could happen with Cleveland because they're just so up in the air. At Cincinnati for prime time on that Thursday night, short week after Cleveland. I mean, that's going to be.
Steelers don't do well on Thursday night.
That's
generally
a tough matchup to have to travel there after playing a division game. And say what you want about Cleveland, their defense is physical. It will be that's going to be a challenge because Cincinnati's got Joe Burrow, so they're always in games. And remember, this was Cincinnati. They lost 7 one-score games last year. Seven.
Right. If that would have happened here,
we'd be, oh, Steelers just need to turn that around. Right. Well, if Cincinnati does get their defensive player signed, then maybe they're going to be a challenge. And Green Bay, Jordan Love, obviously for Packer fans, anytime you see Aaron Rodgers, there's going to be some things there. I think the rosters have changed enough that there's not a lot of Packers that played with Aaron. But, for Aaron, this will be a special
game. He has it circled, I'm sure, already. After that, Colts come to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh doesn't do well in Indianapolis. I suspect they'll win that game. Then they have to go to another night game, Steelers-Chargers, which is never easy on them. And then they come home right after that. The Bengals are back in town. And then a trip to the Bears before we get to the final games I want to talk to you about. But those are not easy. None of these games will be easy.
I mean, Chargers are expected to be good with Harbaugh. They're another rising team, and they're going to pound you. And that's the Harbaugh mentality. But they've got a quarterback that can also throw for 300 on you pretty easy in Herbert. Colts, I don't know what their quarterback situation is going to be. And then you get Cincinnati again. And at Chicago, is Caleb Williams the real deal? There is some talent there in Chicago. Do they get it going? Is that game in the middle of November when you're playing all those in a row with Buffalo the next week, I mean, that could be a real challenge.
So we talked last year about the Christmas situation where they had these three games against really good teams, and it turned out to be their downfall here. But this is the way this season ends now, Jeff, and I find it interesting because you can make a case that it's very hard if similar to last year. They have the Bills coming to Pittsburgh on November 30th. So you have the Bills. Right after that, the next week, you got to go to Baltimore and play there. That's also a 1 o'clock game, not a night game. Then the Dolphins come here. The Steelers have to go to Ford Field to take on the Lions. Then they have to go to Cleveland, which has never been good, before the Ravens end the season here. So you have the Ravens twice. You have the Bills. You have the Lions, a team that many people think are going to win a Super Bowl this year, and thrown in there also the Dolphins and the Browns.
And not to mention that three of those five are on the road, and the ones on the road, two of them are at division rivals, and then one's at Detroit.
Right.
I mean, that is a – and you will have the longest stretch of any team as far as time away from your bye week and playing into that stretch.
And for a team that's second oldest in the NFL, that bye week comes at a bad time, actually, right?
I mean, yes, and I love the fact that Baltimore is the last game. I mean, I think that sets up like Pitt Penn State should be.
Yeah,
that's your rival.
I love it, and hopefully it'll have as much meaning as you would expect in the AFC, because I think the Ravens are going to be a team. If the Steelers can somehow, move ahead of the Bengals, which I think they can. They did that already. Didn't they do that last year, or when was it? They finished ahead of them. It wasn't last year. Was it last year?
Last year.
So they can do that, depending on what the
Bengals
do with this.
And they've had success against Baltimore, even though you could argue that Baltimore's had a better roster over the last few years.
Yeah, so it's going to be fascinating how it ends up. So look forward. It all starts tomorrow. You're going to be out there with your bucket hat. I've talked you into it. I know it. You're going to wear a bucket hat.
Are you coming out?
Not tomorrow. We have some unfinished things to do with Elite 18. And also, Rich Walsh will be out there. Cassidy Wood will be out there tomorrow. It's a reporting day before they actually – I'm always interested in the run test. I still have visions of Jermaine Stephens throwing up.
Well, we can't watch it anymore.
I know.
Back in the day, we could watch it.
There are a lot of things we can't watch anymore.
I know one thing that will not happen. Aaron Rodgers will not push a sled. It's one thing I know.
No blocking sleds this year, no?
That will not happen
this
year.
If it happens, whoever's –
But you know what's cool about this? We've talked all these scenarios. Some of them have come true. So many of them haven't. Now all of that talk finally gets onto a field where not only can we see it, but like for people like us, we can report it because it's not secret in the South Side. Like everybody sees it. So we'll all be able to see what exactly they look like. And we'll be able to tell everybody that's not there.
But also keep this in mind, for every good pass completion that DK Metcalf makes, it's probably Jalen Ramsey on the other end of it who allowed it to happen. Those two guys have had battles when they were with the Rams in Seattle. Physical, crazy battles. And I'll be interested to see if they're paired up.
Well, given that Joey used to work a lot against George Pickens, I'm guessing that Joey's going to tell DK that I want you.
Yeah, I want you. That'll be fascinating to watch. Jeff, as always, look forward to your coverage out there. Thanks. I want to remind you also that we continue our countdown to the NFL draft in Pittsburgh on KDK-TV every Wednesday at 5:55. We've counted down that we did 52 weeks out. We did one a week, and we're counting it down until we get to the number one best draft pick out of Western Pennsylvania. And there are a lot of people in contention. You'll find out who's next tomorrow at 5:55.
Who is your last one? Because I've seen a couple of them. I'm thinking, wow, that's that far out. When you forget about some of the talent, not forget, but...
Well, I mean, we've had, guys like Rob Gronkowski in there, and they're nice careers. Charlie Batch, another one. As we get down to the final 10, though, it's really difficult, and we had a kind of a meeting about which of these, what order do we do? So you'll be intrigued to find that out. But that's all the way until April. We do it every Wednesday. Jeff, thanks very much. Always appreciate your coverage.
Thanks, Bob.
We'll see you. I want to remind you, too, about the 15-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19. Peter's Township, and What's Cooking is brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Yes, indeed. Today, sunny. High of Heath Miller, 83. 89 tomorrow, 91 on Thursday. Heat index rises to almost 100. Be careful going out to St. Vincent College. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Up next, it's the PM team. Austin will take over tomorrow here, and we'll see you again tomorrow, 10 a.m., for another edition of Pomp and Joe with Austin Bechtel on the hot seat. And you guys have a wonderful rest of the day.